I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sean Pendergast and Rich Lord with you here, as the man just said. And
are we handing out damn straight advice today,
Sean? We're going to do it. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. We're going to do it at 420. We did not do it earlier because Cecil Shorts was with us. Mm-hmm. So we moved it to 420. So Laura will jump in with us in the next segment. I bring that up now to say it's a shorter segment than normal for damn straight advice.
Right.
So text in now so we can get your need for advice to the top of the pile.
Right.
First come, first serve.
Exactly.
713.
Professional advice, yeah. Personal advice, yeah. Career advice. Yeah.
We're undefeated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Automobile advice. I may have a number for you.
Okay. Rich, it's not a gigantic live read for your clients. All right. Snoring advice, pillow advice.
Exactly.
713.
Think Need about LASIK.
Save some money on homeowners insurance. 713-572-4610. Text them in now. 713-572-4610. So the sense I get up in Boston, Rich,
yeah,
is that not only do the Patriots want to keep Nick Caserio really badly, but, and I like this as sort of a gauge for how talented this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the media up there wants the Patriots to keep Nick Caserio really badly.
I think you're right.
There are a lot of articles up there that are like, oh, why would he go to the Texans? Why? There was an article I read this morning. I can't remember if it was from our sister station up there. It might have been from Nesson, where they're basically telling Belichick to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah.
Give him more money. Give him the title. You need to keep this guy. Now, when you listen or when you see the laundry list of things that Caserio has both done professionally in that building and currently does for that team, then you really get a sense for how valuable he is, and they've lost a lot of people this offseason.
They have.
More than normal.
Honestly, Sean, the Ben Volen piece you referenced before the timeout there, he's essentially making the case that taking the Texans' job would be a really bad decision if for Nick Caserio to make it. It almost reads as a Nick Caserio, if you're reading this, you don't need to take that job.
He makes it out like it was the Cleveland Browns job from like 4 years ago.
Yes.
Like the post-Ray Farmer Cleveland Browns
job.
I mean, like that there's all these flaws and there's all these things. And look, let's face it. I think, Rich, we can safely say this, that it's, and maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, he doesn't make it out to be the Browns, but he makes it out to be a very, very flawed organization with a roster that's completely in a state of flux. Like he is selling Caserio hard on staying in Boston. And this is what I'll say before we get into his 3 points, because I want to run these by you and we can assess the validity
of
them.
Sure.
Because he brings up 3 reasons why Caserio should avoid the Texans' job. I'll say this, that if a GM job is open, it's probably not a perfect job.
Mm.
There are probably things wrong with the organization.
Right.
The teams that were all in the conference championship games last year, like, they're all pretty well set at GM because they were the 4 best teams in football. Like, the best teams are, normally speaking, unless it's a case where Belichick retires, you know, in New England and somebody gets anointed the general manager. Generally speaking, teams that are at the level where there are really no discernible flaws in the roster or organization are not looking for general managers.
Sean, one of the points in this Ben Volen piece is essentially, if I were Nick Caserio and I wanted to be a GM, my first choice would not be the Texans because they're too good. I mean, he actually wrote the words, I'd rather go to a place where the roster needs rebuilding.
Let's start there, okay? These are the reasons Ben Volen brings up. 1, Caserio would be joining a team in midstream, inheriting a veteran-laden roster that's been built by Gain and before him Rick Smith. If I were Caserio, I'd rather my first GM job come with a team that is rebuilding so you can have total control in shaping the roster.
What?
That's the one you're talking about, Rich.
That's the one that made me go, what?
That's the most asinine thing that I think
Thank
I've
you.
Ever heard.
Thank you for agreeing with me on that.
It's ridiculous that I think I'd want to go to a really, really bad team.
Yeah, I'd rather have a tougher, longer, job and go into a situation where it's more of a long shot than a sure thing. Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, this just in, you're going to go to a team. If you're a new GM, you're going to go to a team where everybody on that roster has been chosen by somebody that's not you. Better that you go to one where they've actually chosen a few good players, including a quarterback. Like, how you could argue against this job based on the roster that includes Deshaun Watson? Like, the roster itself, beyond Deshaun Watson, is definitely a work in progress. Like, there are places on this roster that need upgrades, obviously.
Sure.
They're not the best team in the league. Some would say they're not even the best team in their division anymore. So there are definitely areas of this roster that need rebuilding. But if your first point that you're going to bring up to argue against the job overall is the roster.
They're too talented. Don't go to that team.
You're going to get destroyed in a court of law.
Right. They're too good. Don't take that job.
All right. How about this one, Rich? Number two. Houston might not be the most stable place in the NFL right now. O'Brien seems to be squarely on the hot seat, 42-38 in 5 seasons, 1-3 in the playoffs. Gain lasted just 16 months on the job before he was surprisingly axed. Founding owner Bob McNair was patient, standing by Gary Kubiak for 8 seasons, but McNair passed away last year, and no one knows whether his son Cal McNair will be so patient with the football stuff.
All right, so I agree with the assessment that O'Brien seems to be squarely on the hot seat because, like you said earlier, he's not going to get the opportunity to work with a fourth GM.
Right.
This definitely turns the heat up on Bill O'Brien. I agree with that part, but then why a couple of paragraphs later is Ben Volen writing, quote, O'Brien has the juice in the building. Caserio might get the GM title, but he wouldn't have more power than O'Brien and wouldn't get to pick the players.
Well, that's reason number three.
Save
it for a second.
Why would you write that if you're writing that?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Rich. Both can be true. Like, O'Brien can have O'Brien's power can be intact in the building over there, and yet his job is still in more jeopardy now than it was last Thursday. I think both of those things can be true simultaneously. That he has a voice. He's going to have a voice in who this next general manager is. Clearly, if they wind up with somebody from the Patriots, he's had a voice in who the general manager is.
Well, if John McClain's reporting is to be believed, and we think it is, it's in writing. Whether it's Rick Smith, Brian Gain, or presumably Nick Caserio, they're going to have final say on the roster.
Okay, but that's reason number three. I want to stick with two here for a second. That O'Brien, the case that this is not a good job because O'Brien is squarely on the hot seat. Let's just play this forward for a second, all right? They hire a GM, whoever it is, Caserio. They're going to hire somebody. Whoever they hire, this person is going to have increased job security because they just fired Brian Gain a year and a half ago. So that alone is going to make this a more secure job. That they just, the optics of firing another general manager 2 years later, that's what got the Cleveland Browns in trouble. They had 7 GMs in like 9 years. So I think inherently the job's more secure just because of what you're coming in on the heels of. But play it forward for a second. If they go 6-10 this year, and
fire O'Brien.
Cal McNair fires O'Brien.
Right. Why would that make it a bad situation for Nick Caserio? He'd get to bring in his own guy.
Right. Why would it reflect poorly on the general manager? It wouldn't reflect poorly on the general manager.
And I know he and O'Brien.
This general manager is really going to have had nothing to do with 2019.
Right. No, there'd be no blame at his doorstep if that was the case. He didn't put this team together. He came in after the roster was assembled.
And like you just said, he'd have a hand in picking who the next coach is going to be.
And I say that knowing full well that he has an existing relationship with O'Brien. Apparently they're fairly close. Yeah. And my guess is his wish is that O'Brien would succeed and they would work together.
It's all of our wish.
But yes, of course. But it certainly does not detract from the attractiveness of the job if O'Brien's on the hot seat. That has nothing to do with the attractiveness of the job.
No, I think part of the attractiveness of the job is that, and maybe this isn't something that a candidate would acutely feel coming into the building here, but if a candidate were listening right now, I would tell them, if you come in here and this team does turn into a perennial Super Bowl team, if this team does become a team that's a factor for the next 10 years, every year, you know, one of those teams like the Steelers or the Patriots that's always in the mix, that's always one of the 3 or 4 best teams in the AFC.
Yeah.
It's going to be attributed to you, general manager.
There's no doubt about it.
It's going to be attributed to you because you are the variable that's been injected into this situation.
Yeah. To me, Sean, the only valid reason for Caserio not be interested in this job is a combination of factors. We talked about it yesterday. New England guy, family settled in there, doesn't want to make the move, and he's got a gigantic comfort zone working for Bill Belichick. He apparently does everything except roster management for Bill Belichick. You talk about a dream job working for the greatest coach in NFL history, and he thinks very highly of you.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere. Yeah. He could be a lifer in the Patriots organization.
He could, but Rich, maybe he wants to run his own crew.
That's what we can hope.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's what you and I were trying to do with him yesterday.
Totally.
We were making a mob appeal to him yesterday.
I did a little bit of profiling and mentioned that he's an Italian-American from New England. Don't you think he wants to run his own crew?
Like when Paulie turned down the construction business in the final episode.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a matter of pride.
Now, Paulie's reason was every guy who had that gig died, Tone. He died, T.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.